We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Every retailer has found their own unique journey through this. What they all do have in common, the ones who are doing it really, really well, it's an all-of-company approach. They haven't just relegated sustainability to some like person who sits in a closet in the back of the lunchroom, right? They've embedded sustainability in how the CFO thinks about sustainability, how the CMO talks about the retail experience, how the merchandisers are stocking the shelves. So they've really built it in.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. As many around the country celebrate Earth Day this week, it's a good time to think about sustainability and how businesses can make a difference. Today, we're chatting about sustainability in retail with NRF's Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility and Sustainability, Scott Case. We're going to chat with Scott about what makes a sustainable brand and what retailers can do to make progress and communicate transparently with consumers. But before we get to Scott, let's get to Chris, my colleague, my co-host, and my friend. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you. I can't wait till I can see you in person. I think that's coming sooner rather than later.
Fingers crossed.
I'm feeling good about it. Scott, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, so tell us a little bit about the Scott story, and then we're going to get into some sustainability and CSR, but tell us a little bit about Scott Case.
Wow. You guys told me I had to keep things brief, and you want me to start with, so basically I've been doing sustainability.
We're not starting with the womb. We're just starting with kind of the professional.
That's good. I've been doing this sustainability thing since the mid-1990s. And I've joked before, you know, I got into the sustainability space when if you could spell the word sustainability, you were an expert. So I get in when it was easy and managed to do work with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, with environmental nonprofits. Then I started doing consulting with big retailers like Walmart and McDonald's and others. And then it just kind of grew. I played with consumer insights and market research and what do consumers really think. And then I got lucky and found the National Retail Federation. So it's my new home.
Well, you haven't been here long, Scott, have you?
I'm at about 2 months right now, so you haven't kicked me out yet.
Good. We like to get them on the program when they're fresh. So, you know, Scott, I know that we've had this conversation before, and it always intrigues me because if you talk to different brands and you talk to people that are focusing on sustainability, and you say, you know, define sustainability for me as it relates to what you're looking at doing for your brand, you get a lot of different answers. I mean, sustainability is a pretty big way to describe what these brands are doing to make a difference, whether it's climate or, you know, any number of, you know, ecological, whether it's community, whether it's global. So when you talk to retailers, how do you hone in on what their sustainable priorities are? I mean, is there a similarity? Is there a convergence, a consensus in terms of what retailers can do?
Ooh, Bill, I love it. You start with the hard questions right up front.
That's why you're fresh. You know, get it done. Then we end with, you know, rapid fire, where you don't have to think at all. Right?
This is still part of the job interview process, I'm realizing.
Yeah.
So sustainability is one of those things. I've been trying to define it since the mid-90s. That's what my master's thesis was on, is what is sustainability? But what's really, really cool is what we've learned is that it's okay for sustainability to mean different things to different people. And when you're working with retailers, there's thousands of different retail models and retail approaches and just as many different definitions of sustainability. So the retailers that are doing it really, really well are connecting what their customers understand about sustainability with their business objectives, and then the kind of broader opportunities to engage their customers more deeply. So some common threads with sustainability. it's not just about environmental stuff. Sustainability is the balance between environmental issues, social issues, and business issues. And so there's this kind of nice overlap among people, planet, and prosperity. And that magic sweet spot in the middle of those three is different from retailer to retailer or business to business or family to family or individual to individual.
Repeat that for me, if you would. It's people, say that again.
Sure, the magic intersection of people, planet, and prosperity.
People, planet. That's the first time I've heard that, and that is absolutely fantastic. What a great way to describe it, really.
And that's the official NRF definition. So we're going to broadcast it everywhere.
It's brilliant, too, because it really, you know, you just said it, sustainability. It's okay for sustainability to mean different things to different people because those three things are so encompassing. And I, as a consumer, can interpret them in a certain way. And then, as you said, you know, retailers or businesses are looking at how their customers understand sustainability and how they can respond to that. And so there are so many layers of within those three buckets that you just said.
Absolutely. And this is where it does get complicated for retailers, is because with different consumers having different understandings and perspectives on this, they bring different expectations to the conversation. And this is why Earth Day becomes really interesting and sometimes a little risky for retailers, because they might go forward with one definition and interpretation of sustainability. And all the extra attention kind of like people are like, wait a minute, that's not what I mean. And you're not doing this. And what about this? And how come you're not doing this? And so retailers who actually have a clear perspective on these issues are able to be very honest about the fact no one is perfect. We're on our journey. This is the direction we're headed. And we'd love for you to come along with us.
And that too speaks to that opportunity where you've got a retailer has this opportunity to educate their customers. You know, I already know you're interested in ABC. Well, you know, EFG are also related. So let's take this opportunity to, you know, give you more information about that and then, you know, help you maybe become advocates in your own way.
Absolutely. And this is, by the way, is why retailers are better at sustainability than anybody else, because retailers have learned long ago that consumers come to the stores with wildly different expectations, right? Just because one consumer really liked this red dress does not mean that every consumer loves red dresses. And turns out not even all consumers like red. They don't all like dresses. But retailers actually understand it's the right product mix to create opportunities for their customers. And the same is true of sustainability.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is, Chris, to your point, we always begin every broadcast, every time we do a podcast, with, you know, impacting everyone everywhere, every day. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for retailers to bring the consumer with them. But at the same time, this is something the consumer is expecting now. I mean, you think about millennials and others when they talk about going to work for companies that are, you know, conscious. Mm-hmm. Socially conscious, and you know, that sustainability is a big part of that. CSR is a big part of that, and I think that the one thing, Scott, as you know, I mean, and again, this is why I love the people, planet, and prosperity, is that it's got to make business sense for these businesses too. I mean, they're just not going to do it because, you know, they wake up one morning and they think, wow, this is really a good thing to do, and then they really kind of get lost and. You know, how do businesses make this make sense for their business?
We need to go back to your kind of impact statement too, but let me answer that question first. How does it make sense for a business? It depends on the business. So again, it's understanding those customer expectations, but also understanding all of the hidden costs inside of a business. And a lot of these costs might exist deep inside supply chains. It might be your energy bill. It might be your water bill. So there's a lot of different ways. What sustainability does is it gives you a new perspective on the business. It allows you to look at the business from a unique perspective. So in the early days when I was doing sustainability consulting, like when I kind of traded in my my Birkenstocks for my, you know, John Lobb, you know, Oxford shoes, you realize that looking at things slightly differently creates opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. What are the hidden human health, environmental, social impacts of the business? What are the hidden costs of the business? So walking into a retailer, and people make fun of me, I always look up to see what kind of lights they are. How energy efficient is that, right?
Yep.
And it's not just like a tree-hugging hippie freak thing, right? I'm going to hug trees as much as I hug spreadsheets. When I look up and I see inefficient lighting, my thought is they're wasting my money. I have to pay more at this retailer because they're using inefficient lighting, which is increasing their costs, which means I'm spending more at the store.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. You're a Walmart person.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Is that going to stop you from shopping there?
I'll be honest. No.
But I feel like a lot of consumers are probably like that, where they're I'm still going to go here because it's easy.
And that's I love it. It's the easy piece, right? Yeah.
Right.
So it does not. I like to think it does. Most consumers like to think it does. And they're all lying.
Aspirational. Right? Yep.
Aspirational. And what aspirations are a huge business opportunity for retailers, right? Because if I want to think that's who I am, the retailer who makes it easy and affordable for me to be what I think I want to be, they're the ones that make the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the real opportunity, is to kind of make it easy for people to do what they think is the right thing.
Yeah,
I'm a lazy environmentalist, right? I don't want to have to work real hard to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the opportunity for the retailers.
Well, I think that's most people too. I mean, it's really interesting as well. I know that 15 years ago, I mean, or more, when I was at Walmart and they really were getting into the sustainability space, one of the things that they did was they engaged the associates in that, ideas, suggestions, and particularly from the stores. And there was one fellow that came to one of our Saturday morning meetings, and he basically saw something that we all see every single day. And that was in the break room. All the vending machine lights were on all the time. Turned off the vending machine lights. That's one way to save money. I mean, there were the small things that when you put them all together and think of the thousands of stores that they run in break rooms that have those vending machines with the lights on all the time, and you spell that out in terms of cost, you're not talking, you know, pennies, you're talking dollars, lots and lots of dollars. And so it is back to the education thing, whether it's the consumer or the associates, I think that that is a huge component of that. And how are retailers communicating? I mean, there's got to be a level of transparency. They've got to want to let the consumer know when you walk in that store, this is a sustainable store, or we are committed to this sustainability program. How do they do that effectively?
Ooh, lots of different ways, Bill. There's so many different ways. So you can go into a Kohl's. When I go shopping with my girls at Kohl's, they're always upset, Daddy, you don't have to take pictures of those signs anymore, because Kohl's advertises their sustainability footprints right at the front of the store. Others do it in more subtle ways. You know, an old Walmart story is they simply changed the light bulbs in the ceiling fans, kind of in that section of the store, right? They changed the light bulbs to more energy efficient light bulbs in those ceiling fans, saving, by the way, more than $6 million a year in electric bills just from the ceiling fans. But they also increased sales of the more energy efficient light bulbs because people saw them. So that's kind of a more subtle approach.
Right.
And then you can get even more subtle because of a restaurant like McDonald's. Half the stores in the United States are powered by renewable energy. But you don't know that unless you're geeky like me and you go digging into their ESG
reporting. What does that mean, renewable energy, though? What does that mean, powered by renewable energy?
So that means it is powered by things like wind and solar.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's is actually buying wind and solar through power purchase agreements, which is a fancy contracting mechanism that allows them to do it. You know, Walmart has solar panels on some of the stores. Mm-hmm. So, but they're not necessarily always promoting those things. So some retailers are really, really vocal about what they're doing. Other retailers have adopted the approach, we want to get caught doing something good.
Mm-hmm. So there are these, you know, when I think about sustainability and retailers, there are a couple of names that come to mind that are, you know, it's built into the ethos of the company, right? Patagonia, for instance, right? Everybody knows, like, very sustainable company. And then there are other companies that are just trying to make some progress. Do you see any difference in the execution of efforts or in maybe the consumer respond to efforts between these companies that have it built into their mission and those that are really just trying to make some steps?
So again, every retailer has found their own unique journey through this. Mm-hmm. Some it's really led by a CEO kind of pushing down. In other cases, it's investors. You know, a company like BlackRock has made real clear that they want folks focused on climate change, and they're pushing that into their companies. So they're also kind of moving that direction. Some retailers, it's all consumer-led.
Yeah.
What they all do have in common, the ones who are doing it really, really well, it's an all-of-company approach. Mm-hmm. They haven't just relegated sustainability to some like person who sits in a closet in the back of the lunchroom, right? They've embedded sustainability in how the CFO thinks about sustainability, how the CMO talks about the retail experience, how the merchandisers are stocking the shelves. So they've really built it in. Mm-hmm. To Bill's point earlier, right? Engaging every person at the retailer.
Yeah.
From the person checking you out at the cash register to the people stocking the shelves, driving the trucks, and making the decisions in boardrooms.
You know, the other part of this is you, and we were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but is the bigs, they have the time, they have the resources, they have the people, and they have the capacity to really delve into this and make a difference. What about small businesses? I mean, what are they doing? And how you know, when you go to conferences and things of that sort, do you talk about how to get the small businesses engaged in good sustainable practices?
Ooh, yeah, it depends on which conference, Bill. But I'll tell you, at some conferences,
but you go to a lot of them.
That's what we used to. Now they're all virtual. You need 10 in a day.
That. Yeah, true that.
The fun thing is, in some ways, the smaller players have a bigger advantage.
Oh, interesting.
They're speedboats. Mm. A big company is like the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And getting the Queen Mary to kind of dock in a new port is a little more challenging than a small speedboat.
Amen. And
some of those like innovative companies, they know they're going to like eat up an awful lot of market share really quick. Mm-hmm. And some are doing it because they know this is how to grow fast and they might want to get acquired by one of the bigs. Mm-hmm. Others are doing it because they're building whole new business models. So a couple of my favorite like small stories. One, it's a small jewelry store. They're actually, I don't know, probably only about 20 stores right now. They're actually looking at alternatives to rare gemstones that are mined in scary parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And they're looking, they've learned, you put enough heat and pressure on almost anything, you can get precious gemstones out of it. And they're looking at things like agricultural waste as a new way of generating precious gemstones.
Wow.
Now, they're starting from ground zero. They're building supply chains to do this kind of stuff. They're building technology and IP to do it. And they're getting enormous response from the Gen Z folks.
Sure.
And so they're like tackling a whole market I bet a lot of retailers aren't even thinking about yet.
Wow.
And you see this in companies that are doing reusable packaging. Mm-hmm. You see this in companies that are, you know, starting as a solar powered company, mm-hmm. or starting as only online and avoiding costs. So it's really, the small sometimes have an advantage. And if I'm a big, I want to be paying really close attention to what the smalls are doing, because yeah, they can scale quickly.
I have to be honest with you. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm older, obviously. And yet, having had the experience of working for a company that was committed to sustainability, remains committed to sustainability, helped to lead the charge and the discussion about sustainability within the industry and those that supply the industry, I get things now that maybe I order online and I get the packaging and it really irritates me that I get some packaging. I'm like, why do they have all that crap in there? I mean, it's not recyclable. I'm going to have to throw it away. It's going to a landfill and it's really unnecessary. I can always recycle a box, but I can't recycle, you know, those little styrofoam popcorns. It's really not necessary. And so I think people really are looking at it now. I mean, I don't think that people are as laissez-faire as they used to be. And I would have to think that this benefits those companies that have made this commitment, particularly in the supply chain. And are you hearing that, Scott? I mean, that the supply chain is getting more conscious and responsible about their obligation to a more sustainable work environment?
So to answer the latter question first, yes. The supply chains for those retailers who are asking the right questions are absolutely reducing waste. They are removing carbon from those supply chains. They're becoming more efficient, potentially shorter supply chains. But the retailers who aren't asking that of their supply chains are flying blind. And then the consumer point is really important. All of my neighbors are constantly complaining now about how much waste there is when they're ordering online. They can see it. But they've also made a really interesting discovery during this pandemic. That waste has always existed. It just used to be invisible to them.
Right.
It used to happen in the distribution centers and back of store.
Yeah.
And now that waste is visible. It sits on people's front porches and it sits at their garbage cans or recycling bins. So we've trained an entire generation of consumers about exactly how much waste there can be in the retail model. And they're going to expect retailers to do something about that, whether it's when they're shopping online or in store.
Chris, is that a shared experience? I mean, do you do that? I mean, when you open up the box.
I was literally just thinking about those inflatable, like the air pockets, like pieces of plastic. And there's just like a whole strip of them. And then you pop them and everybody loves popping them. And then you just shove them into the trash with, you know, the other box that it came in that is made of plastic, like whatever, like you can't, it's so frustrating. And it's, and you know, we've talked about how like companies like Amazon are doing things like, oh, you can get your deliveries, you know, bundled for your Amazon day to make it a little bit easier. Because I remember at the beginning of, you know, last year, right? I, you know, like a giant box for my little thing of Body Glide.
Right? Yeah.
And then the next day or the same day, three other boxes would arrive.
I know.
So frustrating. And, you know, the cats enjoy the empty boxes. Sure, of course. But eventually you just, God, there's so many of them and there's so much ancillary stuff. But, you know, like you said, I'm not going to stop ordering. People aren't going to stop ordering. And, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity for retailers to help educate, you know, okay, well, what are some environmentally friendly packing materials I can use? Or how can we, you know, have the packaging, you know, less superfluous?
Yeah. I'll tell you, the ones that have really succeeded in this space are the meal, or you order the meals.
Mm-hmm.
They encourage you to recycle. So it's right, you know, as you open the box, it's like this. Recycle the box.
Mm-hmm.
The packing that they use, all recyclable. The ice packs that they use, recyclable.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and it's very obvious. You can't miss.
That's interesting. I remember when they came on the scene, though, I was hearing a lot about people being frustrated about those like ice packs, right? Where they're just like, oh my God, I have all of this. So it seems like maybe they've changed in response to all of these people being,
I think they've made it easier. I mean, I always... Yes, I had a freezer full of ice packs going,
yeah,
you know, like
sure.
Third month of the pandemic. I'm like, I don't have any more room for this.
It's not the food that doesn't have, I don't have room for the ice pack.
But I want to jump in.
They were paid
what's
for
interesting
away.
Is you've both been kind of talking about educating consumers. Mm-hmm. And one message I would leave for retailers,
mm-hmm.
consumers hate being lectured to.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They hate being educated.
Yeah.
So when you think about a sustainability program, don't think about educating the consumer,
mm-hmm. right?
think about creating opportunities for the consumers to experience what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And make sustainability part of the brand experience.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't want to come across as some, you know, old mean school teacher scolding people or trying to educate them.
Yeah.
Consumers are really savvy about these things these days. Yeah. And you need to understand how savvy they are and make sure they're finding what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Well, we got the high sign. So we're just about out of time. I'd mentioned it earlier. So, you know, it's on the cusp, Scott.
Oh, it's the rapid fire.
One of our favorite parts of the program, and we call it rapid fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is rapid fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
If you're ready, we're going to go. Ready?
I am nervous, but ready, Bill.
No need to be nervous. Chris, start us off.
How are you going to celebrate Earth Day?
Woohoo! I will celebrate Earth Day by hugging a tree and hugging a spreadsheet.
Scott, what was your first job?
Ooh, I worked in a science museum as the person who admitted people to the museum, sold them tickets. So I was a nerdy retailer from way back.
Awesome. Ticket taker with a cause. That's good.
What fictional place would you like to go?
Wow. I'll throw Nirvana out there.
Where would you go, Chris? That's a great question. I mean, you've never asked that before. Nobody's ever asked that.
No one's ever asked that question in the history of questions.
Of rapid fire, certainly. Where would you go? I know where I'd go.
Where would you go?
I'd go to Narnia.
Oh, that's a good answer.
I would. I mean, I was a kid. I've read those books multiple times. So, Scott, is it beach or mountains?
Oh, I'm always a middle of the road person. I want to be 2 hours from both.
Good answer.
Excellent. Very good answer.
Are you usually early or late?
Always early. Always early. Drives people crazy.
Yeah.
I got to be there. My dad taught me early on, you got to be there at least 15 minutes early or you're late.
Sure.
Which means when I'm meeting my dad somewhere, I know he's going to get there 15 minutes early. So I have to get there 15 minutes before he does. So it's a bad cycle.
Well, they say early is on time. So you're right. Early is better. So Scott, last thing. What is the one thing that is always in the case refrigerator?
Ooh.
It better be sustainable.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is it?
And that's just plastic.
like our fridge is always
stocked. It's packed with soda and all have plastic rings on top.
So, no, but I think the most common answer is it's horrible. It's a plastic bottle that's been reused and refilled so many times, it's actually kind of grody.
Okay. That works. Yeah. What's in it?
Oh, water.
Okay.
Okay.
It is. Yeah.
So. That's good. So, Scott, quick question for you. If people want to learn more about what retailers are doing in sustainability, where should they go?
Well, obviously, anytime anyone has any question about what retailers are doing, they should visit the National Retail Federation website, which is nrf.com. And if you hit nrf.com and Google for sustainability, you're going to find some really interesting content that's about to get much, much bigger.
That's great. I know it will. And we're looking forward to it. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to give us some insights into what's happening in this space, in retail, and in business in general. It's exciting, and it's not our first conversation, and it won't be our last. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
Woo-hoo. Thank you both.
And Chris, thank you for co-hosting once again another episode of Retail Gets Real. I look forward to the next one.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Scott.
And thank all of you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information on today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening. And as we say during this time of pandemic, please be safe, stay well, and we look forward to next time. Until then, happy Earth Day.